session number 11071, rule 3.
Vodka. Is that right? Cossacks don't drink vodka.
Well, Mr. Connell told you.
You told me.
Really?
Yes, you did.
No, I don't drink 12 years.
No.
Given up. Actually...
This is Ivan Kudrenko, reel 3. You were saying how Tanya went outside.
Tanya and Mata was... I was a little bit lighter for me on the couch. Now, if they now will be shot, she will tell my Mata what's happened to me. And actually, the guy, the officer gave the order to the firing squad to aim the guns. The aim at us were holding. Of course, we were... prying, and I said goodbye to my father and mother. I said goodbye to the Tonya, but to Tanya. But actually, I was happy she said that she's alive. To my friends, from the school and so on, childhood, everybody prying, some women crying. So, and we were waiting just when the officer gave the command, fire. With us were four priests also. Of one priest, Georgi Trunov, he had a daughter with him, 16 years or 17 years old. You know, she was there too. But they didn't fire of us. Everybody was surprised. Why don't you fire? What's happened? Something wrong. Of course, some nature is nature. Some Cossacks put the hands off each other to meet the dead, you know, together, because they were good friends, crying together and keeping each other and waiting when this fire coming. Actually, they stopped it. My baby, for how long exactly in this time, can't tell you how many minutes it was like that, but it was like a very long time. They didn't fire. The command was, officer gave the command, and the this firing squad disappeared behind the gate, outside went. There was a big relief, but we don't know what's wrong. What's happened? Why didn't they shoot us? When they went out, about three or four trucks, full with the soldiers, come in the camp. The soldiers jump out of the trucks, some with the batons, mostly of the rifles, and start beating us. You know, start to beat, catch them off, beat them with batons, with the rifles, but and so on. Of course, the women start screaming, running on the camp, you know. It was like the cat and mouse, you know, catch and beating and so on. On front of me was the Esaul Trochin. That's in Cossack name. Esaul means major. It's an old Tsarist officer. He was standing on me, in front of me. And one soldier, like mad or something happy, he was running with the rifle butt, right on the Trochin. And he wants to hit him, for sure he wanted to hit him in the hand. He was... desperate, something now has happened with his dog. But he missed him and hit him just by miracle, by air here and on the left shoulder. And the poor, this old officer, he nearly fall. But I was behind him, I called him. He didn't drop to the ground. He straightened up. These other soldiers who hit him, he went to hit others, you know, he left us. When he straightened, Major Trostin straightened, he stand off the attention, he saluted, and then degraded himself. He took off his epaulets, you know, Tsarist epaulets of his shoulders. Then he saluted again, and he said, I never forget his word, now you can beat me. Beat me, please beat me now. Otherwise, I won't allow soldiers to beat the officers. Of course, nobody even touched him later on. This beating, of course, some people start to load. on the track, you know, to stop from these beatings, and maybe chance to run away or something anyhow. Actually, our side is getting, left side is getting smaller, smaller and smaller. But very about 90 or 100 still there. More than half was there. They stop us, they got order, stop us beating. All soldiers come together and they get out of the camp. Nothing. We are about maybe again 10 minutes or something. But we heard a noise, big noise. The tanks and the armored cars and the flamethrowers come around to surrender the camp from all sides, from big noise. But we are still standing on the same place. The left side is staying left side. Didn't move. The whole us, we were together. Then the flamethrowers start to throw the flame. But they throw the flame over our heads. Do you know, the drops come to our uniform, burn our uniforms and so on, you know, when they come there. They throw the ones, and they are waiting. They throw the second time. We still don't move from the same, because it doesn't matter for us. Then the daughter from the priest, Fata Georgi Trunov, Zhenya, her name was, she said, look at these idiots. They are trying to scare the Cossacks with the fire. And she used a not nice language, you know. Didn't swear, but she was, but a very strong language. And the father was behind her. Father Georgi said, Zhenya, stop it, that's not polite, that's not nice. But she said, Dad, look at all of them. They are throwing fire on us. They want us to surrender to the Stalin with the fire, she said. Aren't they shame? Why aren't... She was screaming there, yelling there. And she said, Dad, but you must understand that this Cossacks don't scare the dead. They are not afraid of the dead. And actually, the father, Georgi, said, stop it, Zhenya. This girl give us a moral, you know. This young girl, 16, 17 years, we very more strong, you know, morally. And they throw the third time, you know. Three times they throw the flame. Nobody moves from the left side. There are people, Cossacks and the woman who decided dead here, better dead here, than go there to the concentration torch or to be shot there on the spot. Better here. Actually, it is flamethrowers withdraw. Stop the fire. They didn't succeed with the firing squad, didn't succeed with the beating us, didn't succeed with the flame. Now we thought, what's the next? About a few minutes or so, come again three or four trucks full with the ropes and the electrical wire and with the soldiers. And they start to catch us and tie the ups with the ropes and the electric wire. I thought I have to decide something as quick as possible. I yelled to my friend Nikolai. I said, Kolya, come on, hurry up in the truck, because if they bring us to the Stalin tied up, we will be shot on the spot. And I took everything what I had by me. I jumped, actually, maybe first, I don't know. Many people went to the truck, straight away to load as soon as possible, not to be tied up, you know. That's it, where everything started. Everybody started to load up, you know, in the trucks. The ropes. Imagine they bring us there and give us to the Stalin with their tied hands and so on. They will shut us on the spot. I decided on two things to go as soon as possible in the truck. Why? First, not to be to be brought there tied with the ropes. Second, I got a chance to jump from the camp to the bed in Judenburg and camp where should where they give us up to make suicide or run away, jump off the track. I sit there on the track. I was the actually last one, they waiting. Seven officers were in the track. I sat there, put my things there. They locked the behind the track and they jumped, two soldiers jumped in it, and our track moved to the column further. We come there, they started the loading nearly all start to load it because no other chance. Tanya come to me to the track straight away. She saw me. She was watching free, but through the barbed wire. She saw me, she came to me. And of course, there on the track, we said goodbye to each other. And of course, I had to ask her, I told her, Tanya, I said, still the same as before. That means I love you as I did before. She said to me, Vanya, me too. It's been the same. Actually, the column was nearly loaded, you know, all of them. We can see them from the tracks. Suddenly, some was noise there behind, by the gate. I didn't know what was it. I was waving with the head to Tanya to come. Tanya come, I said, Tanya, what's happened there? Why are we waiting so long? Oh, she said, Captain Popov, who I was with him in the tent, he went mad. He started to sing, to make such a strange voices, and to dirige the orchestra, you know, like the...
To conduct
the orchestra. And oh, he was such a strange voice for me. We heard the voice, but didn't know what's happened there behind us. She said, Captain Popov mad. Major Ostrovsky was their last one. When he saw these things, Major Ostrovsky came to the track where Captain Popov was conducting the screaming, yelling, and the singing. He took him off the track and brought it. Because Major Ostrovsky was very strong man, big man. He took the Captain Popov to the colonel, British colonel, in front of him, and was holding him in front of him. Actually, he was showing him what they are doing. Look at them, mad. And they were looking each other in the eyes, but didn't say a word, not the British, not the air. Major this. Then he put Captain Popov on front of his feet. He was standing and looking straight in the eyes of the British colonel. Then he picked him up and took him to the ambulance. Tanya came later on and explained. After this, I got to some more shock, even more. I decided, my decision was quick. I said, Tanya, I'm finished. Here you are, take my everything is. I pull all documents, everything what's left by me, you know, photos and so on. I give it to the Tanya. I was going to give her the same watch back, but I decided maybe I will need it. I changed my mind. I give her, I took from my apartment only two photos, my father photo and my mother photo. I give everything to Tanya. I said, Tanya, I decided to make suicide on the way to the Judenburg because I know the way and I know the river. I was passing before twice. She took everything. I said, take it this way. She took where her things there, where they came. I was sitting there. I was looking at my father and my mother. And I start to remember my life was so quick. I was young, 21 years old, you know. I was thinking my life passed so quick in my, like a film, like in the picture theater. The past all my young life, just a child, as a student, in the army, and so I remember General Shkuro, our last words with him in Vienna when I met him. My Cossack leader, Ataman General Novomenko, when I met him first, he knew me as a child, but when I met him as I was a soldier, I remember my friends and so on, you know. And the last word, I remember my commander of the 1st Cossack Regiment in the Ruski Corpus. It was the General Zborowski. When something is fest or something, you know, celebration, he used to call the, calling the brass music, you know, of his command, and the choir to sing Cossack songs. I remember this last, and I was looking there. And there was, when he calling director from the choir, we knew what song he wants. General Zborowski wanted only one song. When he called it to him, we knew what we have to sing, because I was in this choir singing. It was a good time, but all disappeared. Snow covered up, you know. Very, very sad song. Было время золотое, да как шел сон, оно прошло. Сюто всю мою дорожку ранним снегом занесло. In early, all my traps snow covered up, you know. That's the, I measure my life. And I want to live. I want to be loved. I want to love and to be loved, you know. And I couldn't hold it. And I was looking at my parents at these two photos, and I was crying, dropping. Then my friend Nikolai was sitting opposite me. He saw me that but I was singing the song. I was singing louder and louder and louder and louder in the track, the song. Yeah. And he saw me, I'm crying, and he started to cry. He was old officer also. He was crying. And another officer in the front of the track said, another one went mad. One holds another. I said, sorry, captain was, I said, no, very sorry, sir, I said, I'm not mad. I said, but I'm very, very sad, so early my life is covered with the snow. My trap, life trap is covered with the snow. And I was crying there. But still, after that, we are not moving. We don't know what's happened. For God's sake, we wanted quicker to be moved than we know what to do. But my right hand, believe it or not, during this time, all the time was pushing on the right hand to the heart. Tanya noticed that and she said, what's with your heart? I said, no, Tanya, that must be the nerves. Always under my overcoat, you know, military, my hand is pulling me there all the time, at the nerves. Again, this time pulling me there. Actually, nothing happened. What's wrong? Tanya came. I said, Father, what's wrong there? But out from the truck, I saw the Major Ostrovsky was taking over the small river, on the small bridge. Behind him with the two British soldiers with the machine guns. When I noticed it from the truck, I called the Tanya. Tanya came and said, what's happened, Tanya? I saw the major, took our major. She said, the general ordered to be shot. They took him to shoot him. I said, why? She said, he said something to the major, to the general. Something said to the general. Oh, God. Actually, through the time, what's happened? The last one should see there in his Volkswagen Major Ostrovsky, and he was going to, because everybody was loaded, except Major Ostrovsky car. He got his personal staff car, Volkswagen. And he would follow the major, a British major, on the front of the column, because major told him, you follow me. But the Volkswagen doesn't want to start. That's the miracle. They started to push it forward and backwards, but the Volkswagen is not starting. Then British major decided, he told Major Ostrovsky, shift everything, you are going with me in my jeep. They shifted this, who was a driver, Major Ostrovsky driver, and two officers and his orderly, they were loaded in the truck. Only Major is left there, he said to go with the British major. When they're going from the Volkswagen to the British jeep there, there a colonel, two colonels, and a major going with Major Ostrovsky. On the way, Major Ostrovsky had so many medals here for Iron Cross, all Ostfront medals, Italian medals, he got a high medals and so on. And this colonel asked him, he said, Major, to remember you, better, he said, take it off this medals from your chest. He said, will be better there in the Soviet, when you go there, it will be easier for you. When the Major Ostrovsky heard it, he took them all off, you know, and he dropped them all to the ground, in the dust, you know. All medals, took everything off. The British colonel bended up, took the old medals, wiped them off the dust, and put them in the paper together and put in his wallet. And he said, that's the major to remember good, to remember of you, of your honor, and your, as your hero. This moment, when the Major Ostrovsky saw such a thing, he took the off Cossack hat, dropped it on the ground, and started to abuse the British colonel. He told him, I have nothing to do with the Soviet Union. I'm old migrant. We were your allies. You sold us during the revolution. You are selling us to die. You're behaving with the officers, and so on. He told him, and he used the bad language. Therefore, they took to shoot him. After the interpreter was interpreting it word by word, therefore, this colonel or general was ordered to shoot him. But after a short time, they took him back to the jeep. We were watching you. They took him back to the jeep and took him away somewhere. Maybe we went 20, half an hour, nothing happened. We were still standing there. Then at once, jeep come back with Major Ostrovsky. During the way to the Judenburg, one motorbike was running behind the jeep. He catch the jeep and talk something to the driver of the jeep. Jeep stopped and turned around and followed this officer on the motorbike. Actually, they come back to the camp. Well, they brought him back. When they brought him back, they give it to him tea to the Major Ostrovsky, biscuits, and so on. Major Ostrovsky thought, well, that's before they shoot me. They brought him some papers. The gentleman with the cardboard and some forms there brought it and put them front of him. But they didn't know what's happened. Actually, he thought it's to sign it before his shooting, before the death, to sign the documents. He said, well, I will sign it, but you give me my, your soldiers rob me of my pen. Give me a pen of pencil to sign my death certificate. They said, then there about 5 or 10 minutes misunderstanding. I said, actually, they find it there. They told him, no, that's not your death certificate, not to sign before you were shot. That's the you sign of your self-information. You are our allies, you are good friend, and so on. You are migrants, he said. We are migrants, you are allies from the revolution. He said, that's you're just your information. That's the form for that one. Then he, before filled this form, he just asked, what's about my friend? He said, yes, all who are there, all migrants were not before the 1938, they were not in Soviet Union, they don't belong to repatriation, they are not Soviet citizens, you know. And he said, come on, sign it, drink the tea, and we go and sign all your friends who you know, they are all migrants. That's the how they start. I still didn't know in the truck, we just watch it. Tanya, I said, Tanya coming back. I said, what's happened there? She said, they are making the list who are the old migrants who got the stateless and who were living outside the Soviet Union. I said, for God's sake, Tanya, run and get, bring me my green passport, which I give it to you. It was in my wallet. Tanya ran. She brought me the green passport. Now this soldier, actually it was not soldier, with the cardboard and the piece of paper, but he was in uniform as an ordinary soldier. With an interpreter, he was going from track to track and writing down detail. Actually, when he came to the last track behind me, he turned around and went backwards. But he saw me, I'm waving with my passport. He turned back and went back with the interpreter. Didn't come to write down my track. God, I was screaming, yelling, waving with the passport to come. Tanya heard my voice. The gunman with machine gun in my ribs is pushing me not to scream, not to yell, you know. I didn't care because it hurts me, but doesn't matter, my life. Because that means from my truck we are going to the Soviet Union. The rest behind me is tied. Tanya comes, she said. I said, Tanya, please run, tell the interpreter that Ivan is there still in the truck. But he knows I am from Yugoslavia with the interpreter, so this die and a half or so. He said, tell him to bring the soldier to write me down. She ran there and tell her another back maybe 7 to 10 minutes, didn't come back. I was desperate, I don't know. I got the passport, I am stateless, I'm old Margaret, now I have to go to Soviet Union. Actually, at the moment, they come all three behind the truck. I saw them, they come into my truck. For God's sake, I got so happy. He come to the truck, I gave him my passport, and I told him, these three officers, they were my friends also from Yugoslavia. He asked him, where is the passport? But I told them before, if they ask you for the passport, everybody, these three, after you tell them the passport, you rip it off there in the camp. That is in the camp to the pieces, what everybody did. The epaulets, everything, documents, they rip it off, drop everything. And they said, he wrote all down. He wrote me.